Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Judith Glaser is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Judith is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is the lady who joins us quite often to talk to us about ourselves, about the way we do things that we do, about leadership, which is a very important topic. She is the author of The DNA of Leadership. She also is the editor of a book called 42 Rules for Creating We, and she is an international consultant to folks like you and me to help us put our best foot forward in the marketplace, and she's our good friend Judy. Welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back.
It's good to have you back. Now, you've just recently returned from China, and I want to talk to you about that in a little bit, but before we can talk about that in the next segment. I want you to tell us a little bit about what you learned over there, but first, I want to talk about something that I know you spend a lot of time on, and that is what you call gender consciousness in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm assuming, Judy, that you mean that women should be more conscious of men in the workplace. Is that what you mean by gender?
You're teasing me.
No, wait a minute. You mean that's not it?
Actually, you're teasing me, but it is it. It is it. What we've been doing is slanting it either one way or the other way.
I think men are so fascinating that, you know, that we're, you know, you should be more conscious of us.
Well, I think men have been given a bad rap. I'll say that right up front. Women have said so long that men don't have feelings, or they don't bring their emotions except anger and, you know, power to work.
Aggression.
Yeah, aggression. And it's just all of this has given men a bad rap, just as much as women have gotten a bad rap. So we.
I'm in touch with my feminine side. I have several pink shirts.
And purple.
I got purple ties. No purple shirts. But I only wear the purple ties because I know women like them.
They do.
I love that part. Yeah.
Purple's a royal color.
And the green, the bright green, too. They like those, too. So what are we talking about here?
Well, what we're talking about is that we've learned a lot over the last couple of years about how the brain works with the ability to use a machine called the fMRI, or functional magnetic resonance imaging.
Right.
That we go inside and see how the brain works. And so there are a lot of things about men's brains and women's brains that are teaching us that there are differences between how they process the world.
No big surprise there.
Right, exactly. And it's good to understand what they are. However, things like intelligence, it doesn't mean that men are smarter, even though they might want to think so, than women. The issue is not about intelligence. It's that takes place, you know, independently of your gender.
But men think that they're smarter than they are. And women think that they're not as smart as they are.
Yes.
Now, that's a phenomenon that I've noticed in my life.
It's called a cognitive bias. And the male's bias is more than, and the women's is less than.
And the truth is, in a competitive world, if faking it till you make it is a phenomenon that works more than not, that's an advantage for men.
Well, this is what's so cool about what you just said. You know, I love to double-click on, you always say great things of wisdom, and then I love to explore it with you.
she tells me I'm wise just before she zings me, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Judy.
The fake it till you make it is that we've learned there's a part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex, which is the newest part, the executive brain. Men have it, women have it. It's the part that we're developing now from an evolutionary standpoint. And this is the part that enables us to imagine ourselves doing things in our mind before we do them.
Right.
Some people go to that type of imaging and picture bad pictures about themselves.
Right.
And what they do is create the ability to step into the bad picture. They've literally opened that door. But as you said, if we can image ourselves doing something, it's the best way to practice anything. You know, you can actually practice music in your brain, playing the piano in your brain, and end up playing it better when you sit down at the piano, just from the brain imaging. And that's true of almost anything in our life.
What about role-playing what may be about to happen?
Again, role-playing breaks. Most.
Because I've been doing that all my life.
Yeah, well, then you...
Seriously.
And seriously, this is what it does. It, for most people, the feared implications of what's going to happen stop us from stepping into authenticity with people or trust with people. And you know we talk about trust a lot, you and I.
Yep.
But the feared implications of what might happen, that's the bad image. often stops us from actually addressing the person in an honest and forthright way. But if we do this role-playing that you're talking about, we realize that in that role, we don't have the fear that's really what we thought we would have, the implication, the feared implication.
But,
that's gone.
But where? How does all this fit into you and me being different genders, working together and being more tolerant and conscious and success and supportive of each other?
If we imagine that another person is bad, or if I imagine that men are really aggressive, and I put that word aggressive in my mind, my imagination about who you would be makes you show up that way in my
mind.
So
you're saying not only do I have this image of myself in my prefrontal cortex, I also have an image of you in there.
Absolutely. And in fact, we have mirror neurons. We have special things. The word mirror is such a beautiful word because for me to understand you, something has to happen in my brain for me to see you in a mirror in my mind.
Right.
And so if the real authentic mirror neuron is for me to actually listen to you and hear you and sense you and pick it up from your real energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's using the prefrontal cortex and mirror neurons at their best. But what we've learned to do and reinforce so much is what's called the neocortex, or where we label people a certain way and experience people through the label, which is not who you really are. That's why we use the word authentic.
So what's the application of all this? How do we apply this?
That we have to, first of all, be aware of our biases, be aware of our stereotypes, and challenge them with every human being.
So if every time, if there's any person or any gender or any scenario that before you get there, you preconceived how they're going to behave, you need to sort of haul yourself up short a little bit and say, okay, give this a chance. Do a little role-playing and say, maybe I should give this or this person a chance.
Right. And you say to yourself, maybe this is not true. Maybe the reality that I've just imagined is not true.
What if I'm wrong?
What if I'm wrong? Great. What if I'm wrong?
Yeah.
What is it? What if is a great expression.
Well, how many times have we looked at someone and the first visual impression was not good at all? They just completely are the opposite of our paradigm of what that person should look like. And so we begin to write them off, and then in that day or a year later or 10 years later, we get to know them a little bit and realize that they're exactly the kind of person we want to be around.
Somebody did a study, and this is not about gender, but it's about the point you're making. They took a very, very famous violinist and put him in Central Park in ragged clothes like he was, you know, a homeless man, and he was playing the music. And he was playing music as beautifully as he did at Carnegie Hall.
Right.
But because of the clothes that he was wearing, people ignored him.
Right.
And that's what happens in our life. It's what happens in our life.
Absolutely.
So how do we get in front? How do we realize that that's what human nature is all about?
Well, we have to get over ourselves first, Judy. That's the main thing we have to do. Hold on to that thought. Judith Glaser is our guest. The book is called The DNA of Leadership. I'm Jim Blassingame. 20 after. We'll be right back.
And through it all down.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.